जय विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम लीला प्रविष्टो विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामगुंड राधागुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री श्री गुरु श्री गौर ग्लोरियस श्री शील प्रभुपाद नमो शुभदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टां स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति सुपदां दिगं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादे पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तसिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने श्री वर्षभानवि देवी दैदाय कृपाब्धये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञानं दायिदे प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाग्निर् श्रीरूपानुग भक्तिदा श्री गौर करुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणी श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धाभ सिद्धांत द्वंद्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलंबर सांबोधे पादाम्बुजाय ते नमः भक्ति विनोदाय सच्चिदानंद नामिने गौरशक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपानुगवराय ते गौराविर्भव भूमेस्त्वं निर्दोष्टा सज्जन प्रियाहं सैष्णव सार्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तसात्विकम् हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांद राधा कांद नमोस्तुते जयदां सुरदौपांगोर् मम मंदमदेर्गति मत्सर्वस्वदां भोजौ राधा मदन मोहनौ वृंदारण्यकल्पद्रुमादौ श्रीमन्रत्नाकर सिंहासनस्थौ श्री श्रीराधा शील गोविंद देवौ प्रेष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्रासरसारम्भिर्वंशीवटतटस्थिताः कर्षान्वेणुस्वनेर्गोपीर्गोपीनाथा श्रीयेस्तुनाः तप्तगाञ्जनगौराङ्गीराधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रियीं जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द
हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, going back to the invocation prayers in the Upanishad, isn't it? That's what we were discussing last Saturday. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Avashishyate. That is the Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. So in every Upanishad you will see some invocation prayers, and this particular one appears in two Upanishads, particularly Nishavasyam and Brahadaranyam. Brahadaranyam Upanishad also has got the same invocation prayers like Nishavasyam. But then there are Kathopanishad, they have another invocation prayers. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Upunantu. It goes like that. So, as we have seen before, that the invocation prayers itself, through that invocation prayers alone, Vedavyas Maharshi has told us something, a very fundamental truth. If you understand it and accept it, then you got to change your way of looking at things. That's the very basic point behind it. That means, Purnamadam, there is only perfection in Krishna's creation. There is no imperfection anywhere. Purnamadam, everything is complete on its own in this world. That is Purnam, from where everything has come. That's complete in itself. It doesn't require any correction anywhere. Similarly, all that's coming from that is also complete. Purnamidam. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. That's what it means. That which from which everything has come, Brahmam, all it's referred to. Krishna, we say, devotees will say Krishna. It doesn't matter. The truth that lies behind, the underlying truth, is complete. That is the main thing to understand. Purnamada Purnamidam, that is Purnam. This is anything that comes from Purnam must be Purnam, has to be complete. And Purnal Purnam Udachyate, from that Purnam, if you add to that something, it is Purnam, still Purnam, remains as Purnam. And that is what Krishna was saying here, that the Upanishad Sarvasvam, that Upanishad word itself, it is big, constructed in that way. Upa, close by, close, getting closer to the truth inside the soul. Ni, the person who is sitting closer to him, Shad. That, how to realize that truth which is very close to us. This is that word is referring to. So, here it says, Purnal Purnam Udachyade Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Evava Avashishyade. If you take anything Purnam from that Purnam, it remains as Purnam. If you add anything to that Purnam, it remains as Purnam. It is a very interesting phenomenon, isn't it, when you think about it. From mundane level, everything when you look at it, it is all confusing. It's all confusing. That's why it is says there that the Upanishad should be spoken only after one has reached that state of mind of inquiry of the truth. If there's someone who is in a complete materialistic consciousness, who sees, who studied material science a lot, he would find it very difficult to understand these things. Why? Because it is in a very subtle level it is spoken. Very much in a subtle level, isn't it? Purnam, Purnam. Everything is Purnam. Krishna is saying there. Upanishads are saying that Purnasya Purnam Adaya. If you take away something from the Purnam, Purnam Eva Vashishyade, it is still Purnam. That is the nature of that truth. And this is why in the Bhagavatam it is said Satyam Param Dhimahi. It is that Satyam Param Dhimahi. We're just discussing about Satyam. That issue came up. That's why we're saying this. Satyam is not what we consider as Satyam in this world. Our understanding of Satyam is completely different. You see, from mundane point of view, you bring truthfulness, you call it, isn't it? If you require, look into Bhagavad Gita also, you will see there. Bhagavad Gita is such a subtle science. when you understand it, you see the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, you won't recognize it. Just like in the verses, in the qualifications of a devotee, remember the 26 qualities. We go through all courses and seminars, pick up all these 26 qualities and we keep repeating them. That's fine. But what does it mean at the end? Abhaya sattva samshuddhir jnana yoga vivasthiti dhanam damascha yajnascha swadhyaya stava arjavam ahimsa satyam, it says. Ahimsa satyam akrodham. This satyam is a very complicated thing. Very complicated thing. Why? Satyam, what we see as satyam, is not satyam. From the Shastram point of view, Shastram has a different perception of satyam. Different perception of satyam. You may call something, just like in Puranam, you will see a lot of stories which is spoken, isn't it? If you read Mahabharatam, there's hundreds of stories in Mahabharatam. Veda Vyasa is included in that. Mahabharatam, hundreds and hundreds of stories, isn't it? And all those stories have happened at different times, different places, in different circumstances. And Vedavyasa has put that into Mahabharatam. If you ask Vedavyasa, have you gone and seen all these things, what you are writing in the book? The answer will be no. No, he hasn't seen all of them. You may think, oh, Vedavyasa knows everything, all the past, present and the future. That's why he is putting like that. It is not like that. That is not the reason why he has included them in that. For us, satyam is, generally, in the materialistic point of view, satyam, truthfulness means what you see is truth. What you don't see is not truth. That's how we perceive truth, isn't it? This is our understanding of truth. Or otherwise, you should be able to verify it, whether it was truth or not. Suppose something which is not acceptable to your mind is spoken, you will not be able to accept it. You'll find it difficult. You will say, how can that be? And sometimes there is also a limited problem with certain things based on time and space. Also there is a problem like that. So sometimes when you hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all that, there are certain things which we will not be able to adjust to our mental situation. In other words, based on our mind, we cannot accept it. The situations like that. Therefore, satyam in the Shastram is a different satyam than what we talk about satyam. Satyam in the Shastram is anything that will bring you closer to the truth is satyam. Anything that takes you away from the truth is asatyam. Truth means soul. Suppose by saying something, if it brings you peacefulness inside, bhakti inside, vairagyam inside, renunciation and realization, self-realization, it's all satyam. So there, these two words comes. One is truth and one is a fact. Isn't it? Fact is one thing, truth is another thing. Truth is different than the fact. Fact is what we call generally a satyam in this world. Is it not? Generally, what we call a satyam in this world is the fact. But that is not the truth. That is not the truth. Why is it like that? Because as far as the sages are concerned, everything in this world is false. There is no truth in this world. Because if you look into Chadishlogi Bhagavadam, the second verse, what does Krishna told Brahma? When you start creation, first thing he said, you know, be aware of this one thing he said. What is that? He says here, if you look into the second canto, in the ninth chapter, I think it is in the ninth chapter, yes. He says here, in the 33rd verse, that Kridartam yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda chalmani tad vidyad atmanomayam yadha bhaso yadha tama. There itself, Krishna has spoken what is the truth. Truth is this, Hridayartham yat pradiyeda nat pradiyeda chalpmani. In other words, what you are perceiving in this world is hridam, is not truth. Everything you are perceiving through your senses and your sense objects or activities, what's happening between time and space is all false. It's all false. Hridayartham na pradi yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda chalpani. Why? Because it is happening under the jurisdiction of Maya. It's not happening in the control of the soul. Soul is the only truth. Everything else is false in this creation. That's why it is said. So, first Krishna said, Aham evasam evagre nanyadal. This Chatushloki Bhagavatam is so beautiful in the sense that it is so subtle way it presents the truth in front of us. That only one who understands the subtlety of that Chatushloki Bhagavatam will understand that behind all these things, what is the truth? You see, getting the truth separated from the false is self-realization, isn't it? We are searching after the truth. Therefore, another word for people who are going in the path of self-realization is that inquirers of the truth. One who is inquiring after the truth, isn't it? You're trying to find out the truth. So what is that truth? That is what he's saying here. That hridayartham yat pradiyeda, na pradiyeda jalmani, yat vidya, yat vidya, tad vidya dalmano mayam. They are all under the control of maya. Yatha abhasam, yatha tama. It is the abhasam of tamogunam. That, so therefore, normally what we understand as truth is not truth. It's not truth at all. It has no standing in as far as the sages are concerned. So what they're saying is, sages are telling us that anything that will bring you closer to the reality, which is the soul, is all truth. Even if it is not a fact, it's a truth. It's a very important understanding of the truth. Why? Otherwise, normally our tendency is, so many times I had this experience, devotees asking, how could this be true? Because they'll say that this happened in that time. And now you're saying like this, these two things don't match up. So there's somewhere something wrong, they say. They say like that, isn't it? But that is why. Why is it? Because we are bringing our understanding of truth in the Shastram. That will not work. We have to know how to understand the truth in terms of the Shastram. As far as Shastram is concerned, anything that will bring you closer to the truth, to the soul, is truth. Anything that takes you away from the truth, even if it is a fact, it is not a truth. Just see. Because ultimate goal is to realize the truth, and the truth is only the soul. Nothing else is truth in this world. I don't know whether that understanding is clear. Because it's important. Everything when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to keep this in the mind. Otherwise, you can get easily driven in a misunderstanding, doubts and questions and all sorts of problems will come otherwise. Hridayartham yat pradiyeda, na pradiyeda chalpmani. Krishna said that straight away after talking about Ahamevasamevagre. Ahamevasamevagre is the one where Krishna says, originally only me existed. At the end only me exist. Because he existed in the beginning and he existed at the end, only he exists in the middle also. This is the logic behind it. He existed in the beginning. He says, Aham evasam evagre. Paschadaham yededacha yovashishyeda sosmiham. At the end also, it's only me exist. If he existed in the beginning, and if he alone exists at the end, in the middle also only he can exist. If somebody comes in the middle, he has to go, in other words. So he is also not the truth. So that is why everything in the name of creation, or whatever we think as creation, or whatever we think as truth, is all false, as far as Shastram is concerned. That is why the knowledge of Bhagavatam doesn't change, the knowledge of science changes, isn't it? For example, often you will notice, particularly with reference to astronomy, and the planets, and the stars, everything. I'll give you an example. Many, many stars who are millions of light years away from here, it takes so much time for the light to reach here, isn't it? From those stars to get here. It takes a long, long time. They say 40 million light years and all, because they are so far away from here. Those stars have got a certain period of life, right? And that star has finished its life and gone. For us here, it hasn't gone, because the light is on its way here. It's still coming to us, the light from that star. Suppose you are living in a colony somewhere near to that star. For you, the truth is different. Is it not? So truth, as you see through the science, is not truth. Truth only if it means something, if it doesn't change. It has to be always existing. Only then it is truth. Everything else is very, very relative thing. The man who is closer to that star, whoever is living, for him that star is gone, finished. For us still the star is the truth. Is it not? So in astronomy you will see our scientists are coming up always with new discoveries. As the more powerful the telescope or whatever they have created, they'll say, oh, we have found something new now. And they'll come out with a new revelation that, oh, such and such a solar system exists apart from this, or a new cluster of stars, or this moon, whatever that comes out and says like that. But how long? By the time they set up their telescope and everything, is there something else coming somewhere else? This is the beauty of Maya. Maya can do such things. Maya is playing with us constantly. All the time Maya is playing this game with us. That's why something what you consider as truth today, after 50, 60 years, it's not truth anymore. Isn't it? Why? That's the way Maya works. Tadvidyadalpano Maya. Maya's game is like that. It will make you accept something as truth today, and the very thing after 50 years, Maya will convince you it is not the truth and you have to change again. And that is not considered to be truth from the Shastra point of view. Shastram says the only truth is the soul. The soul or Krishna is the only truth. And that is why it is important when we study Upanishads, when we study Bhagavad Gita, when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, all the time these basics must be kept in mind. Then you won't go wrong. You won't get misled. Otherwise, if you study it like physics and chemistry, that, oh, can I experiment and realize it? No, you can't do that. You can't do that. Why? Your own body is not a truth. Your mind is not a truth. What to talk about anything else? And it is this temporary state in the bodily identity and the mental identity you are conducting your so-called experiments, which again is not a truth. In the domain of Maya, anything what you do is all false. Everything is false here. So that is why it is said, Tadvidyadalpano Mayam Yathabhaso Yathatama. So, in the similar way, we are trying to analyze people, isn't it? Analyze, judge others based on the same way. Krishna, that is why Krishna told Uddhava, Uddhava parasvabhava karmani na prashamsayam na garhayat. Don't appreciate them or don't criticize them either, because they are both false. As far as Krishna is concerned, they are all false anyway. Vishwam ekalpakam, there is only one thing that is the truth, that's the soul, nothing else. Prakritya purushenaja, material nature is false because it has come from the Purusha. Isn't it? Purusha and Prakriti, it came into two forms. Eventually in the creation process you will see that. Prakritya purushenaja. And he says, Parasubhava karmani ya prashamsadi ya nindari. One who is doing this prashamsa. Prashamsa means one who glorifies others. Ya nindari, or one who condemn somebody or criticizes someone. Sa ashubhrashyade, both are fallen, he says. Sa ashubhrashyade swarthal asatyam abhiniveshada. Why? Because he has fallen into the bodily identity. Bodily identity. Yes, in the bodily identity. That's why he is doing this. So it's a very high level of realization in the Bhagavadam. This is what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. And this is spoken at the very last minute to Uddhava before he left for Badrinath. That's when this was spoken. You see, so Satyam, that is why Bhagavadam begins with Satyam Varam Dhimahi, remember? And Bhagavadam finishes also with Satyam Varam Dhimahi. And that Satyam is this Satyam, not the Satyam what we are referring to in the material world as Satyam. And in so many places, Krishna has to repeat, Sudeva Goswami had to say this to us about Satyam. You see, our Satyam, the Satyam what we consider as Satyam in this world, is dependent on the time, the place, the circumstances and everything, isn't it? For example, Shukracharya says in the Bhagavadam, you remember, when Mahabali wanted to hand over everything to Krishna, Vamanamurti, when he came as Vamanamurti, Shukracharya says to Mahabali, that don't hand over everything. This is Vishnu who has come to take away everything from you, he said. So Mahabali said that, is it proper for me to tell a lie like that? I offered everything to him. So there, Shukranidhi, there is a famous book called Shukranidhi, Shukracharya's logic. Shukrini says like this, Strishu Narma Vivaheshu Vrityarthe Pranasangade Go Brahmane Hidarthayam. He says all these situations you can tell lies, he says there. What all the situation? Strishu. You can tell sometimes lies to women. It's allowed. It's allowed. In certain situations that one has to Narmam for jokingly, you can tell lies. It is only spoken to make you smile, to make you laugh. Only for that purpose, not with any intention to cheat you. But just to keep you laugh, to keep you enjoy, or to smile, you can tell lies. This is Shukranidhi, Shukracharya is saying this. Vivaheshu. Vivaheshu means that sometimes marriage has to be, arranged marriages is particularly this is talking about. Say, there is discussion between the parents and the boy and the girl. In that situation, so the boy's parents wants to know what are the good talents the girl has. So they say, oh, the girl is very good at singing, very good at dancing, very good at this, very cooking, very good at so many things like that. They discuss all these things. So they say to the girl, okay, can you sing some kirtanam or some song? So the girl says, no, my throat is very bad today, I got a bad cold, I can't sing. If you say like that and escape from that situation, that's allowed. That's allowed. That's not considered to be a lie. So there are so many things to consider when you look into Shastram. Strishu Narma Vivaheshu. Vivaheshu. Vrityarthe. Vrityarthe means, say you go for a job interview. And in the interview they asked you so many things. And everybody else will tell lies in the job interview. They will improve their image by saying things which actually they are not. Just like we write the CV. CV itself is a total lie, if you ask. Isn't it? And government is also teaching you how to tell the lies. They have got people to tell you how to write the CV. And if you tell them that you have passed a GCSE, they will make it in such a big thing out of it. Say you are working at home as you are staying at home and doing your housework as a housewife. They'll give you a title, you are a domestic engineer or something like that. And this way they also know that this is allowed actually. This is allowed. It's not considered to be wrong. Say you went for an interview and they asked you many questions. You answered four or five. Then they asked you, can you run this program or that program? You say yes. Whether you know it. Because you know you can pick it up in a few days once you after joining. There is not considered to be a serious offense at that time. Because it is for vrityarthe, for your livelihood in this world. You are competing with so many other people. Somebody else will say he can do it, even if he is not able to do it. And he will get the job. And after you are given the job, nobody is going to ask you about it. You will pick it up somehow. Because if you have not got the job, what's the point in learning it? Because everything is a skill at the end, isn't it? So you can see like this, vrityarthe. For livelihood, sometimes you can tell lies. You don't. If you're 100% honest, you won't get any job in this world. That's also a truth, isn't it? So, strishu narma vivaheshu. In all these situations, you can tell lies. Vrityarthe. Pranasangade. Pranasangade means, suppose you are in a serious trouble with, you're going to lose your life. In that time, to save your life, you can tell a lie. It's not considered to be wrong thing. So, vrityarthe pranasana. Go brahmanarthe. For protecting a cow or protecting a brahmana in a very critical state. Suppose somebody is attacking him and he cannot protect him physically. If you want to protect him, a devotee for that matter, vrityarthe pranasangade, you can tell a lie. So, these things are there in the Shastram. So, this is the kind of truth we understand. But when it comes to Shastram, the truth is something different. Anything that will bring you closer to the absolute truth, to the soul, to Krishna, that is considered to be truth. No matter if it is not a fact. For example, as I mentioned before, Vedavyasa Maharshi has written so many things in the Mahabharata, isn't it? And so many things you read in the Puranas, you read what Prabhupada has spoken also. In different classes, lectures and everything, Prabhupada will certain sometimes give examples like this, that the story of, that the Brahmana story, the Narada Maharshi story, he was walking around one day and underneath a tree, a cobbler was sitting there. Cobbler was sitting there. You heard the story, haven't you? It's a well-known story, it is. Yeah. So, the Narada Maharshi asked this question that how do you know to the cobbler? Cobbler said, my Krishna can do anything, he said, because from a seed, he, as far as he is concerned, from a small seed, a huge banyan tree has come out. And in that banyan tree, there are millions of fruits, banyan tree's fruits. If you break them, in each one of them, there is hundreds of seeds. And in each one of those seeds, there is another banyan tree capacity to come out from that seed. So the cobbler says to Narada Maharshi, I know Krishna has created all this whole creation, he says to Sri Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi says, how do you know? He says, well, I know because that this banyan tree, I look at it and I find it that in this one huge banyan tree, there are so many fruits, and each fruit has got thousands and thousands of banyan trees in there, inside that. On the same principle, I can see this whole creation has come from Krishna, he says. So Narada Maharshi says to him, So will you believe that he can send an elephant through a needle hole? This cobbler said, yes, I believe that. He says, it is possible. If Krishna can pack a whole banyan tree into a very small seed, how can he not send an elephant through a needle hole? I believe in that, he said. So now this story is spoken. Prabhupada has spoken about this few times. It is there in the Puranas also. If you ask Srila Prabhupada, have you gone and seen all these things? There is no answer to that. He said, Prabhupada hasn't seen it. We haven't seen it. Puranams are saying like this. Now, you can reject that story on the belief. How can, on the logic basis, you can reject it, saying how can a huge elephant go through a needle hole? It's not possible, isn't it? But it is considered to be truth from the Shastram point of view. Why? Because by saying this, and through the logic of the banyan tree, the principle behind it is that to emphasize, bring you closer to the realization of the truth, which is the soul. That Krishna exists, soul exists, and soul is important. All the other things are not important. So it may be a fact or not, that is another thing. That's not important. What's important, it is the truth. Because it takes you closer to the truth. It brings you shanti inside, peace inside, renunciation inside, bhakti inside. That is the most important principle, devotion. Bhakti, it creates bhakti inside about Krishna, isn't it? Because looking at the banyan tree, you can see that Krishna has done this. So somehow or the other, it doesn't matter how, somehow or the other, if it creates faith in Shastram, if it creates bhakti inside, if it creates Shraddha, if it creates Jnanam, if it creates renunciation and devotion, that's all considered to be truth. That's all truth. Even otherwise, other things which you consider as fact in this world, if it is creating envy, if it is creating disturbances in your mind, if it agitates your mind, and if it creates hate, jealousy, and anger, krodham, lust, greed, and all other bad qualities inside, even if it is a truth, even if it is a fact, it is not a truth. You see? That clarity we must have inside. In everything when you read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. If we don't have this clarity, we get misled. We get easily misled. Because we are seeing from our mundane mind. Mundane way. We are analyzing things. So anything, even if it is a fact, if what is its impact on you, that is more important. Not what has happened really. In this domain of Maya. Because as far as sages are concerned, everything is false in this world. Everything is Maya. Maya. That's what he's saying. Sikhradhyartham yad pradiyeda nad pradiyeda jalpmani. Yad vidya dhatmano mayam yadha bhaso yadha tama. If you understand this principle, Bhagavadam is very easy to follow. I'll give you another example, much more interesting. In Srimad Bhagavadam, this famous story of Ulugala Bandhanam is there, isn't it? Damodara Leela, pastime. When that pastime happened, in the Bhagavadam it is spoken like this, that the Krishna woke up in the morning, Yashoda Devi was churning the churning the yogurt. And butter was being collected. She was collecting the butter. So at that time what happened? Krishna woke up and mother wasn't there. She got upset. Krishna got very upset. Not only got upset, he came to Yashoda Devi and looked in an angry mood what Yashoda was doing. Yashoda was singing about Krishna and churning the yogurt, churning the butter. So at that time, he just didn't like it, what happened, because normally when he gets up, Yashoda Devi was always there. But that particular day, what happened was, Nanda Maharaj had to go somewhere early. And for Nanda Maharaj to go, Yashoda Devi had to prepare everything to carry with him the prasadam, everything. So Yashoda had to get up very early. That you will see in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned, Ekada Grahadasishu Yashoda Nandagehini. She got up very early and prepared everything for Nanda Maharaj to go somewhere. And she also thought that particular day before Krishna wakes up, she wanted to prepare everything and ready so that she could spend the time with him afterwards. This was in her mind. And she got ready herself very early, bathed herself and dressed nicely, and was continuous to finish all her cooking in the kitchen. They had, naturally, you can imagine, they are very much involved with the milk, a lot of milk. preparing, boiling and keeping in different pots, yogurt and butter, separating them out, and various activities involved with the cowherd people. So she was busy with that, and in that process she completely forgot about Krishna's waking up. So Krishna got up and came there, and Krishna saw that Yashoda Devi wasn't there when he got up. So it was in an angry mood. He came out to the kitchen. He was in a pretty angry mood. When he came there and he saw Yashoda Devi was not giving any attention, he got a little bit more angry at that time. You know how children are, isn't it? Attention is so important for them. So what he did, he sat on Yashoda Devi's lap without even asking, moved her hands away and sat down. Yashoda Devi didn't say anything and started drinking milk. And it was one of those time in the Vrindavan, the cool period, when it's quite cool at that time, early hours in the morning. So sitting in mother's lap, enjoying that warmth and drinking the milk, Krishna was enjoying very much. There was a pot of milk which was boiling there. The boiling milk suddenly came out from the pot and fell into the fire. And you know how it creates that sound, shoo, 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 it creates that noise when the milk falls into the fire. So Yashoda Devi thought that for a moment that milk is overflowing from the pot. Let me go and attend to that and take the pot away from there. So suddenly she took Krishna from the lap and put him aside and went to take the pot away. So when he went to take the pot away, Krishna really got very upset. He was disturbed in his sense gratification. Krishna's sense gratification has been stopped. So what Krishna did was that, if you look into Bhagavatam, it says like this, that he says that Sanjata Kobas Puridharunatharam Sandrashada Dirdadimandhabajanam Bitwa Mrishashurshma Dashmanaraho Jagasa Hayangavamandaram Gadaha. What Krishna's mood, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Sanjada Kobaha, a very irritated mood, anger inside. Spurida Runadharam, the lips went very reddish, and the eyes as well, out of anger. And then, Samdasya Dadbir Dadi Mandhabajanam, then, that he moved away, and Dadi Mandhabajanam, he took that, what do they call it? For churning the butter, they have that thing which they put inside the butter and churn it, isn't it? He took it out of the pot from there, throw it away. And then what did he do? Bitva smrishashurshma dashvanarahom. Few yards away, on a you know, in the olden days, you may not have seen it actually. When we were very small children, we had it at home. We didn't have grinders and all that. The mothers, they had to hours and hours grind everything and all the spices and for cooking vegetables and everything. They need a, you have a stone, big stone, stone slab on which there is a small stone with which you grind it, isn't it? That was the original grinder, the first development in the grinder stage. Now people, if you tell them, they won't know it. They may not have seen it even. They won't know about it. So many things like that, isn't it? In the olden days, they had to work very hard. Now, as soon as you get married, you want grinder, fridge, washing machine. Otherwise, you don't want to get married. First, these things have to be arranged. There's no time for anything. So it's different now. But them days, you can imagine, that's what was there. So what did he do? On that grinding stone, this small baby thing is there, which is used for grinding. He went there, picked it up, and it was pretty heavy. After picking it up, he brought it, holding on his stomach. You know how the children do? Their stomach is there supporting for everything. Holding on the two hands, he brought it and dropped it in the pot. Dropped it in the pot. The pot completely smashed into pieces, all the butter, yogurt, everything spread around everywhere. Put his hand in, picked up as much as he could and ran away from there with that. Just wanted to annoy Yashoda Devi at that day. That is a whole pastime. We will not go into that detail. What I was trying to tell is something different. So, Krishna did this that day. Okay. It is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, the same story, if you look into various commentaries and all, and famous Bhagavatam commentaries which has come from Bhagavatam, for example, Narayaniyam, if you took. In Narayaniyam, the story is different. Narayaniyam, the story is, up to a certain point, it's all true. So, Melpathur, when he wrote Narayaniyam, he said that, why should we ask Krishna to go and bring that small stone, to bring it and put it on there? The stick which was used for churning, we could not use the same thing to smash the whole thing down. That is how he put it in the Narayaniyam. When he wrote this, Krishna from inside, from the deity room, asked, Melpathur, what you have written is not true. That this is not what has happened. Actually, I took the stone to break the pot. But you are writing here, in your Narayaniyam, you are writing it as though it was broken by the churning rod. The churning rod. Can that be true? He said. But there is, Melpathur says to Krishna, that Krishna, how old were you at that time? You were only 2 years old. Less than 2 years. And I didn't want to see you carrying that heavy stone in your hand. 2-year-old boy, how much can he carry with him? I don't think you have done that. I think this is the way I would like to see. Krishna says, oh, let it be like that, then he said. He's answered back like this. Then let it be like that. So, this is, now, if you say, one is truth and one is false, as far as Krishna is concerned, it's not important. What's important is, by whichever way you present the truth in somewhere, ultimately, if you are attracted to Krishna somehow, that is more important. That's more important. On the other hand, if you investigate and saying that, oh, these shastrams are all wrong, these shastrams are all right, if you start segregating, you won't get anywhere. The shastram will lead you into complete confusion about it. So many things in the from the shastram point of view is like that. So remember this always, anything that brings you closer to Shastram. If it develops devotion, bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam, renunciation, and also bring you closer to the self-realization, it's all truth. Anything that creates disturbances, envy, lust, anger, greed, or any other bad qualities inside disturbs your mind, even if it's a fact, from the point of view of the sages, it is false. Is false. And that is correct also. Why? Everything in this world is like that. By knowing, for me, knowing whether, you see, history you can analyze like that. In history, when you study, that's how you analyze, isn't it? How many aeroplanes are bombed, commentary. You may like to know. There is a historic evidence and records for all that things, isn't it? And whether it's 100 aircraft bomb commentary or 101 aircraft bomb commentary is immaterial at the end. Because there is no reaction on you in any way. If it was 100 or if it was 200, does it matter to you now? Today in your life today? It doesn't matter. Isn't it? So, in other words, those things, as far as Shastra point of view, is all false. Because it has no effect on you. That thing which will get you closer to the truth, that's all correct. That's all because the truth is only the soul. Truth is only the soul. This is the important thing. Everything else is false. The only truth is the soul. And when we don't look at things in this way, there is always discussion and argument between devotees. This is correct or that's correct. It ends nowhere. Jiva's fall, for example, is a well-known argument about it. This Acharya said this, that Acharya said that, and this commentary says that. Who will make the judgment? Who is going to tell you the decision about ultimately? Who is there to tell you what is the truth? Nobody's there, isn't it? You can keep on arguing about it for the rest of your life, about this truth, isn't it? How will it affect you? Whether Jiva has fallen or not fallen from the spiritual world. How does it affect you? Now today you are stuck here in the material life. First you have to escape from here. So this is the problem. This is why I am saying this. Because this argument is going on for the last 10 years I have seen on the websites. Devotees writing from America, replied from Australia or from India or from Europe somewhere. They are all arguing. Long letters, emails each other sending. And he says, he has said like this, he has said like that. He is a guru, so he must be right. The other one is saying, he is not a guru, so he is not right. This way they are arguing each other. This is not how you study Shastram. If you study Shastram like this, you won't get anywhere. That's why certain fundamental things in Shastram, one has to be very clear how you approach Shastram. And this is the only reason why, otherwise it will lead into more misunderstanding. Similarly, when we come to Ishobanishad also. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. It is Purnam. If you just accept it, then the problem is solved. Shastram. But if your mind, if you bring it in, you will pollute it. Mind does only that thing. Mind contaminates everything. If you allow the mind to get in and start analyzing things, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. So therefore, you have to keep the mind away. Purnamadam, Purnamidam. Purnam, Purnamudachyade. Purnasya, Purnam. Adaya, Purnam, Eva, Avashishyade. It's always Purnam. Everything in this creation is Purnam. Doesn't require any kind of rectification here. This is the first thing what the sages are telling us. Because we think that so many things in creation is not working properly. We need to adjust things or we need to control things. And there the problem starts. That's where the problem starts. So, in the Upanishad it says like this, Dvaide Dvartha Vishrambam Techa Upashamam Avisham. If you accept Dvaidam here, you cannot say anything is permanent here, isn't it? Dvaidam means, that means everything is separate, isn't it, from that truth. See, the truth exists, so many other things also exist in the creation. Like for example, all the mountains, rivers, and material elements, and all what we have done with the material elements. Primary creation is what Brahma has created. Mahatattvam, Pradhanam, Mahatattvam, and Satya Ahankaram, Rajasa Ahankaram, Tamasa Ahankaram, Manasa, Buddhi, and Indriya, all these things is in the primary creation. Secondary creation is what, using all these things, what we have created. Is it not? We have created a lot of things from that. Just like the skyscrapers, automobiles, or all the manufactured goods in this world. This is all our creation using what Brahma has created. So that's the secondary creation. So primary creation and secondary creation are both existing in this world, isn't it? So what Upanishads are telling us is that once you accept all this as reality, you are accepting Dvaidam. You are accepting Dvaidam. A secondary thing is existing. You are giving reality to it, isn't it? The moment you give reality to it, that you are lost there. You are lost there. Because only truth is whatever that is called adhishtanam. In Shastram, the word used is adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the basis or the fundamental thing on which all this has been built up. Skyscrapers have been built up based on the material elements given to us by material nature. Material nature has come from Krishna. So all these things, material nature, material elements, our intelligence and our effort, labor that has gone into create this material, the skyscraper, these are all false from the point of view of the Shastram. Why? Shastram only recognize the soul from which all these things have come out as the truth. So if you accept Dvaitam and accept the reality of all these things, Krishna's point is that Adhishtanam is important. Adhishtanam means the fundamental thing from which all these things have cropped up, all these things have popped up, all these things have come from that. Eventually, all this is meant to get destroyed, isn't it? Everything will be destroyed. Skyscraper will be destroyed. Material elements also has to go back to its tanmatra. And they themselves dissolve one to another. That is how in the creation process you see how it says sky, earth, water, air, ether, fire, the five material elements and their tanmatra, shabdasparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham, tanmatra form. And you know how they each get dissolved in each, and at the end only the sky exists, and in the sky it goes to sound and goes away like that. In the when it comes down, it comes step by step. From the sound comes the sky, then the form, then the air, like that. You remember that, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam it is there. So creation process is also to tell us this. Only for this reason it's spoken, that none of them is real. None of them is real. It has happened at some point in time, and some point in time all this will disappear also, isn't it? If you look into the 12th canto in the Bhagavatam, there is a interesting thing mentioned there about various kinds of devastation, what happens at the end of creation. Generally, those who are realizing, searching for the truth, they are not interested in creation, nor they are interested in the destruction. But ordinary people, when they come, they will try to find out, what does your scripture say about creation? They will ask this question, isn't it? And what they will do is, they will compare what the Bible say, what the Quran say, what the Vedas say, and then they will say they are all bogus, because none of them are matching each other. This is the mindless. The Krishna had no intention, Sukadeva Goswami had no intention to tell us about creation. When why creation was spoken? Creation was spoken only for one reason, that this question will come up as soon as you inquire about the when you start any scripture. Anyone who comes to spiritual life, first thing you will ask will be, where did all this come from? That'll be the first question. Similarly, at the end of when will it all get destroyed? That also you have to say, they want to know that. They're not bothered when they're going to get destroyed. They're bothered about when the world is going to get destroyed. So that's why you see often these predictions coming out. You know that different predictions come. 2012, world is finished. 2015, world is finished. And 2000, what is that? The computer was going to Y2K. Crash. Y2K, yes. The world was over that time. It didn't go. Now 2012, whether it will go or not, they say it will go. But, so these predictions, why is it coming? Because this mind is doing this job. That they want to see when is it going to come to an end. They want to know. So this nature in everybody, in everyone, has to have this kind of inquiry mood. For such people, their satisfaction, Bhagavatam answers that as well in the 12th canto. If you look in the 12th canto, there is four kinds of devastation mentioned there. Nityam, Namityam, Prakritam, Atyantikam. Four kinds of devastation described there, so that people are satisfied with some answer. They keep quiet about it. Actually, it has no relevance as far as you are concerned. How does it matter to me when this world is going to end? If it's going to happen tomorrow, yes. Maybe I'm a little bit worried. But for certain, I know that I'll be gone from here before the world comes to an end. So if I stay here, this is the mind that does all these things. You see? The mind doing all these things. That's why, in order to get us attention from out of these things, sages definitely has to give us some answer. So they told us in the Bhagavatam, there is four kinds of devastation happens. First thing is, at the end of one day of Lord Brahma, there is a devastation, it says. Now, Brahma's life is 4,320,000 years, and I'm living here 60 or 70 years if I do that far, if I get that far. And what is that comparison between Brahma's life and my life in this world? And how does it matter to me? Whether the Brahma's days is important? So all these figures, what is quoted in the Shastram, if you start taking literally and start experimenting with it, you will waste a lot of time. This is not the understanding or the purpose of giving all these figures in the Shastram. This is not the purpose. So that you can check it out with your calculator or computer and see whether it's all adds up properly or not. People are worried. You see, even the Kali Yugam is 420,000 years, isn't it? 432,000 is Kali Yugam. Dwapara Yugam is 864,000, according to calculations. And 1.2 million is Treta Yugam, and 1.8 million is Satya Yugam. So if you add up all that, that makes one Chaturyugam. 1,000 Chaturyugam makes a day of Lord Brahma, which means this is a lot of time, very, very long time, isn't it? Now, in that 1,000 Chaturyugam, in one Chaturyugam, and in that one Chaturyugam, in one Kali Yugam, we have appeared in this body for a very short period, about 60 years, 70 years, whatever that is. And I am busy calculating Lord Brahma's life, what it is. So therefore, in the Bhagavatam, when these things are spoken, Sudeva Goswami is laughing also behind it, why he is telling us. He is laughing that people want to know all these kind of things, because he knows their mind. So there, when it comes to Atyandika Pralayam, that's what we are more interested. Out of these four, Naimityam, Naimityam, Prakritam, we will discuss that when it comes to 12th canto in a little bit more detail. They are not considered important. The Atyandika Pralayam is considered important. Why Atyandika? What happens at the very end, we say. Because why? Brahma has got 100 years life. And each year, he has got 365 days. And each day of Lord Brahma is 1,000 Chaturyugam. So imagine, calculate Brahma's life, how long it is. And Brahma is finished now. We tell people, oh, we finished 50 years old now. He's 51 now. He's getting closer to his pension. So when you say like that, people can relate with Brahma's life. Isn't it? Such a long span of life. So there, those things are there in the Puranam particularly. Upanishads, you won't find all these things. Only in Puranams, these things exist. So when you say these things, you'll find there the final devastation, Atyandika Pralayam. When does that happen? We want to know that. When will that happen? When that happens, what Bhagavatam says is, you don't exist at that time. It's over. That means that you realize the self. You're not existing anymore. You realize what the truth is. And then you see that this world doesn't exist. Up to that time, you are in this illusion thinking that the world is existing. In that illusion, you have lived here. And you have accepted everything as real, real, real. But when you realize the self, you realize that. So if that realization happens in this lifetime for you, realize the self, the truth, then this world doesn't exist anymore for you. So the final devastation happens now in this very lifetime. It happens. Why? Because he has realized the truth, what you are. That means you are not this body, you are the soul, and the soul is different than this matter, what is manifested in front of us, and that realization is clear. And your identification is gone with the body and with the mind. Just see how the whole... So, when suppose if he gives us an answer, Sudeva Goswami tells, so it takes a very, very long time. After the final devastation, it happens. This, that means you'll think, oh, it's a long way to go, it's not going to happen. No, it's not like that. That right now, if you realize the self, realize the truth, self-realization happens today or tomorrow, then this is the end of this creation. Creation is finished then. Creation doesn't exist after that for the soul. On the soul, it doesn't exist. So this is how we have to see the truth. Separating truth out of the Shastram is not an easy thing. Always our mind, because of conditioning, we used to think in one way, and we start applying that to very truth to the Shastram also, and there we will have difficulty. So here, it says here, the only truth is the very basis on from whom everything has come. And that is that consciousness. The only truth as far as we are concerned is awareness of our existence. That I am existing. You are existing. And that one truth, Krishna says, hold on to that. Why? It is there in the waking state. It is there in the dream state. It is in the deep sleep. It is in the deep sleep. In the waking state, oh, I have done this, I have done that. And who is that I? That's that consciousness saying that. Say, I'm existing, I've been responsible, I'm aware of this, I'm aware of that. When you go into the dream state, after leaving your gross body here, where you have expanded yourself into various forms and various shapes in the dream state, and who enjoyed that dream, and that's me. That's me. When you go into the deep sleep state, when you wake up from the deep sleep, coming back and reporting that I had a great time in that deep sleep, that alone is the reality. That is Upanishad's conclusion. That alone is the reality. Everything else is false. Everything else is false. So, it is that I am. That is the only present inside. Though, if you look this, in the Bhagavatam, how it is spoken is, two places particularly you can see. One, when Parikshit got the release note at the end, isn't it? Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, he says. Siddhosmi, I got it, he said. And I'm fortunate, he said. I got it now. Because when you come out of this current state, when we are in this Maya, in the illusion state, when you get released only then you can see that we were in Maya. We were in Maya because we didn't know the truth. So he says there, Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, bhavadam, karunalmanam. He says there that because of your mercy, Sudeva Goswami's mercy, by that pure, the great personality, Sudeva Goswami, through his mercy, I got it, he says. Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, bhavadam, karunalmanam. He says, karunalmanam. In the Bhagavatam, you will see that in the 12th canto. Sorry, just a minute. Thanks. Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, bhavadam, karunalmanam. He says here. And he also says there that the Shravido Yachame Sakshal Anadi Nidhano Hari. The first verse in the, sorry, the Raja, King Parikshit Maharaj, before he leaves this world, that is how he said, Siddhosmi Anigrahidosmi Abhavada Karunalmana. You have shown that such a mercy to me, he says to Sudeva Goswami. Why? You brought me out of my illusion. You brought me out of my illusion. Shravido Yacha. By hearing alone, I got out of this. By hearing alone. Yacha. Sakshal Anadi Nidhano Hari. I realized that Hari, truth, Krishna, what he is. Anadi Nidhano Hari is neither beginning nor end. He exists ever. All the time existing. In other words, when he realized the truth, he understood that he is eternal. Up to that point, now many things we'll say things here, it all remains on a theoretical level, isn't it? But when you realize it, what happens is something different. That's what it is saying here. Siddhosmi, anugrahidosmi, bhavada karunalmana. Your karunyam, your mercy has come, flown freely. And shravido yachame sashal anadi nidhano hari. By hearing this, by hearing this, I realize what I am. Na tyalbudaham manye mahadam achyudalmanam ajneshu tapadapteshu bhudeshu yadanugraha. That ajneshu tapadapteshu, this shastram of Bhagavadam, that will give ajneshu tapadapteshu, all of us who are conditioned in this world, thinking that I am this body and I am this mind and living this and suffering in this world because of that. Isn't it? Due to identification with the body and the mind, we are suffering. There is no other reason for our suffering. That is the main reason, that due to identification with the body and the mind, we are suffering. Then, after that, we are looking for solutions. But the primary cause is that ajnanam, ignorance in us. That's what he's saying here. Ajnyeshu tapadapteshu, because of ajnyada. Ajnyada means ignorance. Ajnyada causes all the distress in life. And because of that distress, we are suffering. Ajnana tapadapteshu bhudeshu yadanugraha. So in order to show some mercy to them, you have done this to me. To me you have done this, and through me, so many other people will get that same benefit from that. So you can see, in all the prayers, if you look, there nowhere it will say, asking Krishna, remove me from this distress, remove me from this distress. They don't pray like that. What they'll pray to Krishna is, remove my ignorance from me. Because if the ignorance is gone, I'm freed from my distress. And so long as ignorance is not gone, I'm always in distress. No matter what distress it is. Today there is one distress, tomorrow there will be another distress in some other form. Following this distress, there will be some other distress in waiting. So, no distress solution is a solution to the problem. Solution to the problem is, what he says here is, ajñeshu tapataptesu, ajñana, or the ignorance of the soul must go first. In other words, self-realization is the solution to the problem. Realizing the self, what we are, what our real identity. Ajñeshu tapataptesu, Bhudeshu yad anugraha. Bhudeshu yad anugraha. So, it is saying like this, he left. Who left? Sudev Goswami. He said goodbye. Parishit said goodbye to Sudev Goswami and left this world in that way. That's how he left when he went back. We say he went back to the spiritual world. But where he has gone is not important. What he spoke at the last minute is more important. What happened to him? Where he has gone? Definitely has gone back. Wherever Krishna has taken him. That's another thing. But we will only interested in knowing that. Where has he gone? How far is he? How is he? What's he doing now? This, if you ask all these questions, it's no meaning. It's no meaning. For us, what's important is, what did he say at the minute when he left? That is what he said. Siddhosmi, anugrihidosmi, bhavadam, karunalpanam. Isn't it? That's more important. Because that is what Sudev Goswami is telling us to reach that state at the time of leaving this. We should be able to leave the body exactly with the same realization. Siddhosmi and Grihidosmi. So, Siddhatwal, that I got it. We should be able to say I got it. And that is the statement from Parikshit. Same thing, if you look at Prahlada's story, you will see the same thing happening. Prahlada is saying in a different way. There is no difference practically what Prahlada is saying here. Prahlada says here that the Bhagavatam, if you look, he is explaining to his friends. You remember all these brahmachari boys who were with him. He was discussing with them about the truth. He gave a lot of instructions to them, isn't it? He gave a lot of instructions to him. At that point, he says to the friends that it is not very difficult to realize the truth, he says to the friends. Because they were saying to Prahlada, Prahlada, why do you get involved in all these things at this age in life? You're only 5 years old and you have plenty of time. Right now, why don't you listen to your father, what he is telling you, Hiranyakashipu? And why don't you do things what he tells you to do? Why do you have to keep arguing with him and create this trouble? So, if you read his answer to that, he says here that everything, my dear friends, is when he is addressing the boys, he says to them that the buddher jagaranam sapna sushuptir iti vrittaya yata yena ivanubhuyande so adhyaksha purushapara. So adhyaksha purushapara. Then, right now, he says to the boys, they're only 5-year-old boys he's talking to. He says, buddher jagaranam sapta sushupti iti vrittaya, the three states of existence. See how intelligent those people were to talk about it like that. Because that knowledge was ingrained in them at such an early age of this. For us now, today, at the age of 60, we are discussing three states of existence. Imagine where we are. This is how ignorance is in us, how deep-rooted ignorance it is. It is like a new revelation to many people that there is three states of existence at the age of 60 and 70. It's a new revelation, that three states of existence. And Prahlada was discussing at the age of 5 that three states of existence. Buddher jagaranam sapta sushupta iti vrittaya ya ta neivanu bhuyande so adhyaksha purushapara. Prahlada is saying to the boys, look, you know these three states in which we are living, that is showing that clarity in their realizations, isn't it? Even though those boys were educated by Shandamarka, the Shukracharya's children, they were the teachers, isn't it? And Hiranyakashipu was so demoniac in many ways. He was a asura, real asura he was, wasn't he? Hiranyakashipu was a real asura. But look at Hiranyakashipu's knowledge. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, how realized he was in many things. He has so clarity. Only because of Rajogunam, he won't act accordingly. That was the problem with him. The Rajogunam inside was so strong. But otherwise, he was as knowledgeable as Vedavyas was in all these things. He had such a great realization. The instructions he gives here to his mother is purely Vedantam it is. Unbelievable, such a level of a demon we call him, isn't it, Asura? But the realization what he has in such a higher level. So the same way he says, ta yenaivanu bhuyande so adhyaksha purushapara. In all these three states, who is present there as the adhyaksha? Who is he? Witness to all these things. He is Krishna. That's all he had to say. So take his shelter, Prahlada is saying to these young boys, 5-year-old boys. And what happened? He says, I'll teach you how to take that shelter, and started the kirtan of chanting the holy name. That's how Prahlada taught them. And Prahlada, because he was so pure, when he spoke, all the boys who were present there immediately experienced it, what he was talking about. What he was talking about. So, he says here, buddhir jagaranam sapna sushuptiriti vrtaya ta yena ivanu bhuyande so adhyaksha purusha para. And then he spoke also to the boys about the six kinds of changes that happens to this body, and the 12 kinds of things, qualities of the soul. Both he discussed there with these boys. Can you imagine a young boy, 5-year-old boy, is discussing about the soul in such depth? The 12 attributes of the soul and the six changes that happens to the material body, and when the material body, when it gets he says there, after saying this, all these things, bhalanamiva vrishasya kale ishvara murtina. He says, janmadya shadime bhava drishta dehasya analpana. That janmadya shadime bhava. He say, what he wanted to say to the boys was, the body is not a truth. That was the point he wanted to emphasize to the boys. Body is not a truth. Why? Shadime bhava. It goes through these six changes. You know that six changes. Shadvigaram, Shadparinama Bhedam it's called. It takes birth, grows for some time, and then it stays stable and have byproducts. It starts getting destroyed, decay starts, and eventually death. So all these six things happens to gross body. Isn't it? Gross body has to go through these things. And because it goes through these six changes, it's not the truth. He wanted to separate getting the truth out of the message is very important. Otherwise, the children won't get accepted. Because children were saying to him, like ordinary people will say, why not take to Shastram later on in the life? So Prahlada was saying to them, no, it's not like that. He says that janmadya shadime bhava drishta dehasya analpana. But, he says, this, you can observe this. Why? This destruction of the body. Na almana. For the soul, there is no destruction. And then he stresses the 12 qualities of the soul. What are they? Alma, Nityam, Avyayam, Shuddham, Egam, Kshatratyam, Ashrayam, Avikriya, Sudrukha, Hetu, Vyabagam, Asangyam, Anavadam. We discussed this earlier in the many instances, so I won't repeat again. Each goes on time like that. Time will be wasted. So, the 12 qualities of the soul, if you look each one of them, Sudeva Goswami wants to emphasize, Prahlada is saying to us, that Atma or the soul always exists. It has no destruction. This is the point. It never gets destroyed any time. So, Atma Nityam, Avyayam, and it's pure. Nothing affects the Alma. Many instances I mentioned this, but this, I'll keep repeating this. Why? When we have any distress coming in this world, say somebody spoke to you very rude or harsh, and who gets affected by that? The soul has nothing to do. We know very well, soul doesn't relish anything in this matter. Soul has nothing to enjoy anything in this matter. But what normally happens is, somebody said something to you, your false ego gets hurt. False ego gets hurt. It is the jiva or the false ego that gets affected by the world outside, not the soul. Soul is transcendental. It never gets disturbed over anything. So Krishna also says that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? He also repeats the same thing. So in the same way, that Atma Shuddham, it's pure. And that's what we are. Avyayam, Nityam, it's eternal. And it doesn't change, go through any changes. And because it doesn't go through any changes, it is the reality. It's only reality. Anything that is changing from the Vedic point of view is not truth. Anything that is changing. And that is why this big problem between science and the Vedic literature. That's where this problem coming. Science is trying to do experiments, research, and in that way trying to establish the truth. Not that all scientists are in that category. There are many scientists who believe that there is something higher than the science. Those scientists, I'm saying, who are trying to establish the truth through science, they will eventually end up in difficulty. They will have problems. They'll have problems. Whereas many scientists are there who are very much conscious that there is a superior truth that exists beyond this creation, who is behind it, or at some stage in life they have also come to accept it, of the authority of the soul or the creation or the cause of all causes behind all these things, something exists. They could not be considered in the wrong way. They have to be accepted, respected. But those who are thinking that through matter they will find the truth, they will never reach that state. So that's an important point. So let's now go back to Ishobhanishad. Ishobhanishad is saying that only that Nyapti Maram. You see, in all the prayers in Bhagavadam, you will see this stressed very much. When Muchukunda saw Krishna, you remember that story in the Bhagavadam? Muchukunda saw Krishna, isn't it? Story is very interesting. Muchukunda was sleeping in the cave. Kalayavana followed him. And Krishna was running in the front. Kalayavana was chasing Krishna. And Muchukunda was sleeping in the cave. Krishna ran inside the cave. Muchukunda followed. In that process, Krishna knew Muchukunda was sleeping there. Without touching Muchukunda, Krishna ran away. And Kalayavana followed, didn't know that Muchukunda was sleeping there. So he touched Muchukunda. Muchukunda woke up and he saw Kalayavana standing there. And he got burned into ashes. That's how Kalayavana was killed. You know that story in the 10th canto. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see a Krishna book also, Prabhupada explains that. So, Kalayavana got killed. At that point, Muchukunda saw Krishna standing there. So, he's asking, who are you? And Krishna's answer is very interesting. He says, if you look at the verses in the Bhagavatam, he says, I've got so many names in so many lifetimes. If you ask me who I am, it's very difficult to answer. In this lifetime, they are calling me Krishna. They are calling me Vasudev, he says there. In this particular lifetime, they are calling me like that. But actually, nobody knows how many lifetimes I had. Even I don't know myself, he says. The answer is like that, he says there. He says there. I'll read that verse, because it's interesting. That Kalatrayo Bhavannani Janmakarmani Me Nrupa Anukramando Naivandam Gachandi Paramarshayam. He says here, Janma Karma Abhidhana Shri Bhagavan Vaja. Krishna says here. Another interesting thing. You will see in many places in the Bhagavad Gita Bhagavadam, the word is used Shri Bhagavan Vaja. Isn't it? Shri Bhagavan Vaja. You could have said Krishna Vaja. Isn't it? Why is it Bhagavan Vaja? This is all the beauty of the Shastram. In Shastram, what is important is who has spoken, not what is spoken. This is another interesting thing. You must always remember this. In Shastram, what is important is who has spoken. What is spoken is not important. Why? Why is it like that? It's interesting to know. You go to a self-realized soul. Even if you joke with him, you will be benefited. Even if you gossip with him, you will be benefited. You sit with a conditioned soul, a learned person in this world, and you learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. If he is a materialist, you will be degraded. This is how it is. that is, shows the power of that association of a person. These are important things. Why? We are always thinking that, oh, he has learned a lot, he has studied all the Shastram, he knows everything, he has got so many disciples, he has established so many temples, so whatever he speaks must be true. That is not how Shastram works. Shastram works in a different way. Who has spoken, not that what he has done, who has spoken is more important in the Shastram. And it is only for that reason everywhere it said Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. In Bhagavad Gita also it's exactly the same thing. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Otherwise, everywhere Arjuna is asking Krishna, Krishna. He's saying, Chanjalam Himana Krishna. Arjuna is saying, isn't it? So he could have said Krishna Uvacha. No, Bhagavan Uvacha. Why? To show that completely realized personality is speaking. That's why it's called Bhagavan Uvacha. Completely realized. He knows the truth. Because in Shastram, not that what you have studied is important, what you have realized is important. And Krishna is the perfection of the self-realization. You see? All these are differences from our materialistic way of thinking. In material life, what has he spoken, that's more important, we'll say. And we evaluate people based on that. So therefore, it's always like this. Even if you meet somebody, if you happen to see a realized, self-realized personality in this world, even if you be in their presence for some time, and even if you gossip with him, it will still lead you closer to the truth. Rather than someone who has not realized the truth, but he has studied all the Shastram, he has spoken many things, it may not have that profound effect of a person with who realized. This is a big difference. And similarly, anything what is spoken by the absolute truth, that is to be stressed very strongly. That's why they said Shri Bhagavan Vaja. What Krishna has spoken is not the most important thing. Who is speaking? That's important. Who is speaking? That's important. Krishna is speaking. That is why everything, when we speak something, we should always find the shelter, the authority from the Shastram. It should not be based on our mental speculations. Then it could be leading to problems. Often we had this experience. Sometimes we say something in the class, somebody will ask, where does it say that? Which book is that? Which Upanishad is it? Who said that? Where did he say that? So his mind is working in another way. He's thinking that, oh, unless I see that book where you quoted, and whether it is bona fide, then they'll ask, is that bona fide one or not? So what do you answer to all these questions? So every time you'll have to carry a bunch of literature all the time to show it to people that this is bona fide, Prabhu. Like a lawyer presents the case in the court. Isn't it? You'll have to carry all these things with you. Because every time somebody asks a question, say, look, this is a book. Here's the verse number, chapter number, and the line, everything. Then you have to show, then the confusion starts from there. All the commentaries that come from that. One Acharya says one thing, another Acharya says something. So all confusion starts here. So like this it goes on. This is what it is said like this, that Shri Bhagavan Vaja. Krishna says here to Mujukunda, Janma Karma Abhidhanani. I had so many janmam, so many births, and so many karmam also. Janma Karma Abhidhanani Sandhyamenga Sahasrasha. Thousands and thousands, he says. Na Shakyate Anusanghyadum Anandatvan Mayabhihi. I can't even count them, he says. Krishna is saying this. I can't even count them, how many lifetimes I had gone through. Naiva shakna, he says, Tanmaya mayabihi. What has happened to me? I have not kept an account of that. How many times I was born, he says. Bhagavatam earlier also says, Avadaram asankhyoyam. Asankhyoyam means countless. It is times I have appeared in this world, in this creation. There is no account for all that. So, In that situation, you can see there that kalatrayoba pannani janma karmani me nrupa anukramando naivandam gachandi paramarshaya. This says kalatrayoba pannani. Kalatrayoba pannani means past, present, and the future. And janma karmani me nrupa. In all these three states, I have different appearances. I have janmam and karmam. And different. Everything is spoken in a very subtle level. when he Krishna speaks these things. Kalatrayopapannani janmakarmani me nirbha. Then he says, anukramando naivandam gacchandi paramarshaya. In other words, he's saying that right now I am here. That's all I know. For Krishna, there is no past, present and future. Is there? Past, present and future is for us in this body. We consider everything that happened till today as past, right now, as you say something, and everything what's going to happen in the future is future for us, and today what's happening is present for us. But what you can see there, that we actually live between past and future. There is no present for us. See, as soon as I speak this word, it has become past. And the next word I'm going to speak is the future. So practically, present is a very, very, very small thing compared to past and the future. So the mind works between past and the future and past and the future. This is what the mind does. What Krishna is saying here is, get out of this concept of past and future, stay in the present, and that is self-realization. Staying in the present, what we are doing today, right now, at this moment, without caring for past, without caring for the future, is self-realization. Because if you get trapped in this time span of past and future, you are controlled by the mind. You are controlled by the mind. That means you can't rise to the platform of the soul, you are always in the platform of the mind. Platform of the mind. And this is very strong in all of us, isn't it? We always want to see in terms of the past, in terms of the future. We will say also in our own life that I had this experience in my life before, so in the future I should be careful about it. Yes, in material life such experiences, but they are all false. Past is false, the future also is false. But from the spiritual point of view, they have no value. What's important is today what you are doing in spiritual life. Tomorrow, body can go. Body will be finished and gone. So, not to make any plans in terms of this body. That's why it is said. That's why Krishna, answering to Mujukunda, he says here, Kalatrayopapannani, Janma Karmani Me Nrupa. He says, I don't keep an account of all what has happened in the past, nor about the Kalatrayopamanani, all the three states of three time span, past, present and the future doesn't exist for me, Krishna says. That is the realization. Self-realization is like that. You speak always from the absolute platform. Kalatrayopamanani janma karmani nevindrapa. Then he says here that anukramando naivandam gacchandi paramarshaya. That it is going on like this, I am coming, going, all this is happening. In fact, Krishna's appearance and disappearance in this world, from a very mundane level, you can see Krishna is appearing on, we say on Janmashtami day, we celebrate it's Krishna's appearance, and then we consider that Krishna's appeared in Mathura on a particular day, a particular year, 5,000 years ago appeared, and 125 years he spent in this world. This is on a particular level, you relate with Krishna in that way. But Kalatrayopavannani, what Krishna says here, is janma karmani meendruva anikramando naivandam gacchanda paramarshaya. He said this to Mujukunda. Mujukunda, it is a little different with me. That anikramando naivandam gacchanda paramarshaya. It is going on continuously, my appearance and disappearance in this world. And I don't keep an account of that. That is what is answered. It was then that Mujukunda realized he was given this mercy previously by Krishna, that I will come at the time when you are leaving this body, when you are leaving this world, and give you the instructions on the self-realization at the time of leaving this world. And that is when Krishna comes and spoke these things in this particular way, and Mujukunda God realized the self. And Mujukunda's prayers, if you look, you will see the conclusion of that prayers is like this. Tasmadjashishaishasarvado rajastamas sattvagunanubandhanam niranjanam nirgunam advayam param tvam inaptimatram purusham prajamyaham. After talking all other things, various things Mujukunda spoke to Krishna. But when he concluded, he spoke the truth. What did he say? Tasmadrushashishaishasarvado rajastamas sattvagunanubandhanaha. That there is, everything is happening in this creation, what we are witnessing and experience all this, rajas, sattvam, tamas. three modes of nature. That is what is working here. It is these three modes of nature that is causing all this big show what is going on. It's under their effect it is happening. Niranjanam, Nirgunam, Advayam, Param. But there is a substance beyond this who is Nirgunam, who has no modes of nature, who is not affected by the modes of nature, free from duality and transcendental to everything. Tvam, that you, Nyapti. Nyapti matram. Nyapti is the word in the Bhagavadam for that. Nyapti means, it is you, that truth is present in me as consciousness as well. And that's what you are. This is how he concluded his prayers to Krishna. Muchikunda's prayers to Krishna was like this. Muchikunda's, see, when they pray, pray means when they glorify, in other words. Praying is a little different, isn't it? Praying means we are desiring something and wants to fulfill our desires. With that intention, you are praying for something. That's what it is. But glorifications is different. In glorifications, what's happening is that you have realized the truth and you want to express your realizations to Krishna. Isn't it? You want to express your realizations to Krishna. So, when you express that realization, it comes out in this form. It comes out. That is why, if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to study these glorifications. There is no other way. Because, how they spoke after self-realization. That's when it comes out, the truth. To get ourselves. So therefore he says here, Tvam yapti matram. You are yapti. This, which kind of thing? Nirgunam, niranjanam, nirgunam, advayam, param. That supreme truth, which is nirgunam. Free from the three modes of material nature, free from duality, and completely transcendental. And Tvam, that yourself, yapti. Who is sitting inside me as yapti. Nyapti, it is called Nyapti. I mentioned this before also a few times in the Bhagavad Gita classes that you will see the soul given different designations. Pratyagalpma, Nyapti, and Alma, Jiva. They are all referring to the one thing, the consciousness. It is addressed in different ways depending on different circumstances. Where, because that word fits in that particular situation. That's why it is used like it's same thing, what is addressed in different way. So nyapti is the word used when he is present inside. Nyapti matram purusham vrajamyaham. Purusham vrajamyaham. So that's how he mentioned that. So in the Muchikunda's prayer. Similarly, Prahlada says to Krishna, Prahlada says to the boys, Siddhatwal, you have already got it. Not that something, it has to come from outside. The boys ask Prahlada, is it not a big endeavor, effort to understand the truth, to realize the truth? Is it not better to leave it till the old age? Now you have got a nice father who is giving you all facilities to enjoy. And you have got a young age, why should you get yourself involved in all these things? This was the question the boys raised to Prahlada. Prahlada is saying to them that why do you have to wait till the old age? He says, the truth is already there inside you. Siddhatwal, there's not something which has to come from outside. It's already there inside. All you have to do is that ajnanam should go. Ignorance must leave you and then you've got it. It's not something has to come from outside. Our normal thinking is, oh, I have to study so many years, I have to do so much sadhana, and one day, if it happens, it will happen. This is how we think about spiritual life, isn't it? Spiritual life is not like that. Spiritual life is right now here. If it happens today, it happens. If it didn't happen today, when it happens, nobody knows. That is Krishna's mercy, Krishna's kripa. If it happens, it can happen today, it can happen tomorrow, it may not happen this lifetime. That's completely in Krishna's hands. That's why you may see in Prabhupada's books also mentioned there are three kinds of perfections, isn't it? Siddha people. Devotees read these three and they argue about it. Which one is the easiest one, they say? Kriba Siddha, Sadhana Siddha, Nitya Siddha. You must have read. Those who have read Prabhupada's books will know these three things mentioned there. Kriba Siddha, first they talk about Nitya Siddha. Okay, Nitya Siddha means what? Nitya Siddha means, Prabhupada used to mention about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he is a Nitya Siddha. Nitya Siddha means he is eternally liberated soul. Eternally liberated soul. He has come down from Vaikuntha and he has a mission here to perform. After that he has gone back. This is how Prabhupada sees Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So he says he is a Nitya Siddha. All disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, because of his strong realizations about the truth, uncompromising nature about the truth, he was completely uncompromising with anything. So therefore they accepted him. All the acharyas were like that, uncompromising on anything. They won't compromise on this issue about the soul and the realization of the truth. So they are all Nitya Siddhas, in other words, all great personalities, Mahatmas, great devotees, great jnanis, they are all Nitya Siddhas. They have come here with some purpose. Either they have been sent here to help those who are looking for self-realization. By their presence they inspire people. So they are called Nitya Siddhas. This is one kind of Siddhas. The second thing called Sadhana Siddha. Sadhana Siddha means one who executes sadhana and he comes to perfection one day. Sadhana Siddha. So a lot of questions come in all these things. You see, when you are reading all these things from the Shastram, Sadhana Siddha. So the question is coming up that Ajamila, look at Ajamila. Ajamila was not in perfection anything in that stage, isn't it? If you read the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see Ajamila fell into a very pathetic situation, isn't it? Born in a good family, had a good background, but due to association fell into the deepest, the worst situation. Gave up all his training, all his nishtha, left home and abandoned his family, children, parents, went to the forest to live with this prostitute whom he met, and he fell in that situation for a long period of time. And this happened in his youth sometime. I don't know which age and all, if you ask my daughter, it doesn't say, Bible doesn't say that. But the age of 88, when death came, that is mentioned in the Bhagavad, Ashtashiji Tamodhya. So only at the age of 88, when he had to leave his body, that the Yamadudas came. We know that, isn't it? So Yamadudas came, and then he called Narayana. This story is all known, isn't it? Everybody knows that. Then Vishnududas came. He called Narayana, addressing his little boy. Vishnududas came there, and Yamadudas and Vishnududas had a discussion there, and Yamadudas left. Vishnududas also left. And then Ajamila realized that just by chanting this holy name once, Narayana, I have been given this great mercy from Krishna. How will it be if I chant this holy name seriously and with complete surrender to Krishna? And that's when he goes to Haridwar and then he chants the holy name and then the plane comes and he goes back. This is there in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? So, which category will you put him? He is not a Nitya Siddha, isn't it? Has he performed sadhana? Yes. He has performed some sadhana, isn't it? And after that sadhana, not a lot. Compared to us, he has performed nothing. We have performed so much sadhana. How many years are we chanting? 16 rounds. And he was not even following for regulative principles. No, probably three. I don't think whether it's followed three or four. Because often you see the advertisement, 4 regs in 16 rounds, they'll say. So this is the only thing that makes spiritual life going. So anyway, he had only 3 regs and probably not even 1 round. Yeah, and he goes back. So we have got a right to ask this question, isn't it? We are following 4 regs and 16 rounds. So what's happening to us? So the answer is this. So the devotees are discussing these things in the Bhagavatam classes. I've seen this, that's what I'm saying. And so it said that the sadhana siddha is one who comes to perfection through sadhana. Yeah. And then there is a third thing, what Krishna Prabhupada says as a kripa siddha. Kripa siddha means Krishna's mercy. Simply by Krishna's mercy, you escape from this material existence once for all. Strictly speaking, there is only kripa siddha. It is spoken in these three ways. Everybody is dependent on Krishna's mercy at the end. We are endeavoring, you cannot do business with Krishna. You can't tell Krishna, look, Krishna, I have chanted 16 rounds what I was told all my life. Where is my ticket now? Can you ask that to Krishna? He won't be there to answer you, first of all, would he? So you can see there, kripa is the one thing that flows freely from Krishna. And that is the only thing exists in reality. Whether you reach there through sadhana, whether you reach by your surrender, sharanagati, whether you get there through your realization of the knowledge of the self, or by complete dedication to spiritual life, what way you get there is not important. Important thing is to realize this. Krishna's mercy, kripa, matters most. If the kripa is not there, whether you are a nitya siddha, whether you are a kripa sadhana siddha, you are still in the same situation. You haven't got there yet. So that how important kripa is. How important kripa is. There is no need to discuss this. If you can understand the principle behind it, bhakti is all trying to get that kripa from Krishna. Isn't it? How to get that kripa from Krishna. For purpose of that, we are engaged in sadhana to bring some discipline in our life and to become arranged to trying to surrender all the time. But you can never say that due to your sadhana, you are getting the release note. You are not getting the release note through your sadhana. You are getting the release note because of the kripa. Krishna's mercy is more important. That's why all devotees will pray in that way. All devotees will pray in that way. So here, also, in the Upanishad, we'll go back to Upanishad. Because if you keep on going like this, we'll go through Bhagavatam, read somewhere else. So I don't know, we started something else. But, so, coming back to Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad is also telling us the same thing. Purnamadam. Krishna is complete. And everything Krishna has completed is also complete. This doesn't require any correction anywhere. If you accept that, you shouldn't play too much with the material nature. If you accept this, when do we start playing with the material nature? We want to adjust material nature to suit us. So because we are on the bodily identity concept, thinking that if we can do this, we can do that. You build a dam, tomorrow there's floods there. Isn't it? It always happens like this. So many things happen in this world, in spite of your best efforts, everything fails. And when nature reacts, you have no idea why it happened. You have no choice at all. Once it so happened, you remember this tsunami happened a few years ago, isn't it? So, in Chennai, in the city, there is a river flowing, Adyar River. And on top of the Adyar River, there's a huge bridge. People walk through that bridge to work back and forth every day. A lot of people go to work to the city through that Adyar Bridge. So, every day, if you look, it is not very far from the sea where Adyar River goes and joins the sea. Goes and joins the sea. So on that particular day, when tsunami happened, somebody told me this. He was walking on that bridge that day. He was staying in Chennai that time. He was walking through that bridge that morning. A lot of people were standing on the bridge and looking at the river. Why? The river has changed its direction. Instead of flowing to the sea, it was flowing back the other way. And they were shocked to see this. They didn't know anything about tsunami. Nothing was known. So, tsunami happened somewhere far away in the sea, isn't it? So it has just started. By then, the sea has started flowing back in the opposite direction. The Adyar River was flowing backwards. So they were thinking, what a surprise this is. Maya is like that. If you understand this, you'll understand how the way Maya works. We think the river should only flow according to Newton's law and all. It should only flow in this direction. It's not flowing the other direction, isn't it? But Maya will say, Newton also has a limit there somewhere. He'll put a limit. Everything in this Maya is like that. It's like that. So that particular day, it didn't flood the Chennai city because water kept flowing. After some time, the effect of tsunami didn't happen much there. So it was not a huge destruction. They lost a lot of these huts for the fishermen and all that who were fishing near the seashore. But major disaster happened in the other places. Not in that the eastern side of on the southern India. It didn't happen much. There was damages. Sri Lanka had a big hit. And there was other countries also. But the point is this, that this is how creation works. That we are taking it for granted all these things must be true. That Newton's law must be true. And water, according to Boyle's law or some law, it says it can only from the higher level to the lower level. Isn't it? But this phenomenon is always going on. Isn't it? When the tide happens, sometimes sea comes backward also. So, where do you apply all the science then? Science is also sometimes subject to, that's why it is said that in Maya, anything what you are calculating, they say, akatita ghatana patiyasi Maya. There is a Maya Panchagam, a famous verse, 5 verses about Maya. In that discussion about Maya, what is Maya? Few disciples are discussing what is Maya. Akatita ghatana patiyasi Maya. What you think is not possible, Maya will make you accept that it is possible. This is Maya's capacity. Everything in this creation, you're taking it for granted that, oh, all this has got a law under which it is working. Yes, there is a law, but that law is also subject to change of Maya's mood. Maya can change the law if she wants to. She can change everything in this creation if she wants to. Today it is working, and there is a certain in that process we are happen to be here in this body. And we just have to accept what is thrown at us. We have no choice in all these things. So, coming back to Upanishad, Om Purnamadam Purnamidam, everything is Purnam. We have to say all these things. Why? Because this invocation prayers in the Ishopanishad is so important. It is so famous as well that Purnamadam, everything is complete in Krishna's creation. Purnamidam, everything that has come out of that creation, Krishna, from the soul, is also complete. From Brahman, that is complete. Purnamidam. Purnal, Purnam, Udachyade. Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya, Purnameva, Vashishyade. Anything you add or subtract from that Purnam, it remains as Purnam. And anything that comes out also remains as Purnam. So, remember we talked about this particular verse. There is a very extensive commentary on the Brihadaranyaka Bhashyam. Brihadaranyam, when you look at it, you will see the extensive commentary on that. Just like a story, we talked about this before, that, you know, there are certain preparations, like laddu, we have a thing called modagam. In that modagam, inside is sugar, coconut and all is kept inside. Just like you have these cream cakes or cream biscuits, yeah? It is similar to that. There is cream inside and there is the other maida flour outside. Similarly, in this modagam, inside is sweet. Inside is sweet. And outside is covered with the flour. Rice flour, I think they use. And it is salty. It said it's salty. So when it is prepared on a special occasions, they prepare it at home, Ganesh Chaturthi and things like that, and offer it as a special offering to Ganesh. But that's not one thing. One thing is this, that it's prepared in the evening and children will be waiting to have it. They're waiting, when will I have, will I get it? Because they know what, it is something nice. So they have to wait till the offering is made and all that. So after that, when they get it, when they are given, what they do is, they will take out the external part, which is salty. Only the inside portion, which is sweet, they will eat it. They will throw the rest. And that sweet part inside is called a purnam. In the language of the cooks, or the mother who cooks that, it is called purnam. So there is a relationship, it is from this word purnam, that word has come. It's called a purnam. Why it's called purnam? It is that thing that matters, right? That thing that matters. Children know this. That's all they want. They don't want that covering thing. What they do, but in front of you, they won't do it. They'll go somewhere else hiding. And they'll take away that salty part and throw it away and eat that sweet part. If you give them this cream biscuits also, some of them do that. They'll break away the biscuit part and they'll leave the cream and the sweet inside. Because that's what they want. They don't enjoy the other things so much. So it's a children's nature. Jnani realized souls and these children, they are similar. Just like the children do that, the realized soul, what they do, from the creation, they take the essence. What is the essence? The soul is that Purnam in there. Purnam is the soul. They only take that. At the moment, what's happening? That Purnam is inside us also. What is that Purnam inside? The soul inside. That Purnam is experiencing this world through the body, through the mind, through the senses, and through the intelligence, through the ego. It is enjoying this nature. This whole material body, the mind, intelligence and all that, is just like that salty part outside that Purnam inside. You see what I'm saying? That this mind, intelligence, body, everything, is that salty part. And this has to be discarded. That is spiritual intelligence. Spiritual realization means that. Just like you separate the Purnam from the Modagam, and children take only the Purnam part inside and relish it. Similarly, Jnanis also, they separate all this flower from the Purnam. Purnam inside is the soul. Soul is covered with all this gross body and the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, everything is a coverage on that. You see? Coverage on that. So, Jnanis know what to take from this Purnam, from this package. Jnanis know that. So they take the soul, the Purnam part of it. Like the children take the sweet from the Modagam. Ajnani means our slot. All of us who don't know these things, we want to eat everything. That's what us. Isn't it? We want to enjoy the body, we want to maintain the body, we want to relish this body, we want to enjoy the mind, intelligence, ego, everything. So that is why Ajnanam it is called. Ajnanis enjoy everything. Similarly, grown-ups also, they eat the whole Modagam, whole thing. They are the one who, whereas the children are more intelligent, they take only the Purnam from that. So that word Purnam in the Modagam, it is called a Purnam. That sweet inside is called Purnam. That Purnam is coming from this words Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnam, Udachyate, Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya, Purnam, Eva Vashishyate. So, actually, it says here that this Ajnanam in us, ignorance in us, is that flower which is covering it, isn't it? And it is a adulteration on the sweetness of the, it's an adulteration on the sweetness of the soul. Sweetness of the soul. That's all it is. But not knowing this, we think there is a covering and there is a avaranam. Avaranam means coverage, isn't it? You remember avaranam, vikshepam, two things. Avaranam means the covering potency. Vikshepam means the deluding potency. So out of this, the avaranam or covering potency of the mind is that what it is called the what we experience in the form of the mind and the body. So avaranam is that. No. So once you remove that coverage, Krishna says Upanishad says there that you have to remove that, and here you can see through mathematics how you understand that. Mathematics. In mathematics, we've got so many digits, isn't it? Starting from 0. 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, out of that, have you noticed one complete letter is only 0 there? When you write 0, it's a circle, isn't it? It's a circle. It's complete. Whereas you look at 1, 2, 3, 4, all of them, they are starts from somewhere and left at another point. Never complete. Is it not? But 0 is complete. Similarly, the soul inside or our spiritual nature is complete. Purnam. It's another word for a 0 is Purnam. Purnam is a title given to 0 as well. And this 0, which is what we are, in Sanskrit when they address somebody, have you noticed Parampujaniya? Where did this word come from? Pujaniya means that he is complete, he has realized the self. It's a way of addressing people, Param Pujaniya. Pujya, Pujya Shri, or Pujya, something Pujyam we'll say. Pujyam is zero. Does that mean he is zero? No. He is complete, that's what it means. It's not zero, he is complete. Now, if you look at all other letters, they are not complete. But then there is one letter in between, which is a twisted zero.
Eight.
Yeah. If you take a gasket from a cooker, which is like a zero, isn't it? If you twist it, it's like eight, isn't it? That's also complete, isn't it? That letter is also complete. Why is it called complete? Because eight is a letter which is referred to Maya. Maya is also complete in her own way. Why? Five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, eight things makes Maya. This world, what we are dealing with in this external world, is these eight things. That's what you are busy with. Bhumi, Apam, Analam, Vayu, Kham, Manasa, Buddhi, Ahangaram. Bhumi, Rapanalo, Vayu, Kham, Mano, Buddhi, Revacha, Ahangara, Idiyame, Bhinna, Prakriti, Ashtatha. Krishna says in the 7th chapter, when you discuss transcendental knowledge, we'll see there. So these eight things makes Prakriti, material nature. That's also complete. So in mathematical terms also, zero is complete, Purnam, eight is complete, Maya. So that's what this importance of eight there, Ashta Prakriti, Ashtatha, it says there. Isn't it? Bhinna Prakriti, Ashtatha. And then Krishna says, Abareyam idastvanyam vrigritim pradhime param, prakriti vidhime param, jivabodham mahabaho, yayedam dhairede jagat. In the 7th chapter, Krishna says, that superior to these eight, which is Maya, made of Maya, there is a living entity. Mabrayam idastanim pragradim vidhime para pragradi. He belongs to para pragradi, superior nature, jivabhudam, the living entity which is the soul. Mahabaho yeyedam dharide jagat. But because he is absorbed with these eight things, eight elements in this world, he sustains this universe. He keeps this creation going because he is busy with this creation. These eight elements are busy with this creation. So Maya is complete. Atma is also complete. Surubam is complete. Maya is also complete. That is that connection. In order to make it easier to remember, if you remember like this, zero is complete, eight is also complete. If you remember like that, it's easier. So that you don't get, people argue about Maya a lot, isn't it? Maya does a lot of things in this world. If you find a logic in Maya, you won't get a logic for anything, isn't it? You can't find any logic in this world, can you? It's just like the weather forecast. They'll forecast something, but something else may happen sometimes. So similarly, in Maya, that's all we can do. You can't do anything about it. So inside is Purnam, outside is Purnam. So if you know these things, then you know that this is one reason that this Shanti Mantram, this particular Shanti Mantram of Ishopanishad, is presenting this truth as well to us. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnan, Purnam, Udachyade, Purnasya, Purnam, Adaya, everything Purnam, complete in itself in creation. Nothing. From Purnam comes everything else. And that's also Purnam. Actually, only wholeness exists. Wholeness means it is complete in itself. Living entity also, we say, in the jiva state, we feel false ego inside. Isn't it? When you are a jiva, you have the false ego inside. That false ego doesn't leave us. When the false ego disappears, what do you see? You see only Atma there. Atma there. And Atma is not different from the soul. It's the same. So as soon as false ego comes, see how we get separated from Krishna. People always ask this question, isn't it? When the false ego comes, parichinnatvam comes. Parichinnatvam comes means this bifurcation happens to the soul. We get bifurcated. I think it's the right word, I think. Bifurcation, isn't it? We get broken up from the truth when the false ego takes over. When we identification with the false ego started, immediately separation has happened. That is when jiva form has come. Jiva has come into existence. And therefore, when it is in the jiva state, it is in the localized state. In the Shastram, it's called Ekadesha Sthiti. Ekadesha Sthiti means it is limited immediately. It's limited. As soon as you become a jiva, it is called localized experience of personality comes at that time. You see, that now I'm identifying, I am so-and-so, I live in Lachmohit, I come from that place, and I work here, I do this, I. Everything centered around my jiva handa, false ego I am. Isn't it? That's where it's coming from. So, when did this start to happen? This localized development of the expression of personality, localized expression of this personality is called jiva. Jiva handa, false ego. It is false ego who is talking. False ego who is talking. And at the same time, as long as this separated existence remains, you will not be able to get out of the distress of the three types of distresses. That is the principle. So long as this identity with the jiva exists, and our existence is separate from the truth, localized to personal, parichinnatvam, as it is called, that because of false ego inside. In other words, that pride or false ego who I am is what has created this separation or bifurcation or whatever that is called. So that parichinnatvam in the Vedantam, it is referred to as parichinnatvam. Parichinnatvam means this situation. Parichinnatvam happens at that time. So as long as it is there, parichinnatvam is there, there is no possibility of freeing oneself from the miseries of material life. That is one thing. Now, what happens? Look at Sushupti state. What happens in Sushupti? In the deep sleep state, what is happening is that we lose this localized experience of personality. Isn't it? In the deep sleep state, what happens to us? We lose that localized experience of this personality. In the deep sleep, it goes. It goes, and you experience that pure experience of the Atma. Pure experience of the Atma. And that's what we are reporting when we wake up in the morning. So every day, Krishna is showing to us that there is a state like this exist through this Sushupti state. Sushupti state. And that as long as we are experiencing Sushupti, it is good. Because then you know it a state exists like that. When you get very old, Sushupti doesn't exist. Sushupti is finished by 40, 50. After that, it's only half waken and half dream state most of the time, isn't it? So it's what happened. So, deep sleep, there is no body, there is no mind, there is no buddhi, and also that personal ego also doesn't exist. Personal ego also doesn't exist at that time. So all that is exist because it goes away, there is completion at that time. You are feeling the fulfillment, as we say. The word fulfillment comes from that. So but then what is interesting here is that although you are experiencing that fulfillment or completion in that state, because you are not conscious of the body, you are not knowing that. So what happens is, if you have that experience in the vacant state, in Jagrata state, if you can experience that, and that can only be known through reflection, through what is known as mananam. Mananam is that process by which that what we have experienced in the dream state, in the deep sleep state, bring that same experience into the vacant state. If you get to that state, then it is known as the self-realization. That's all it is. Self-realization is not a very, very highly complicated phenomenon. Krishna has given us all the knowledge what is necessary. Krishna is saying to us, provided you have to use your train of thought in the way Upanishads are telling us to do. If you start using science and find out self-realized, it won't happen. You have to go through the way Upanishads are saying. Upanishads are saying to us, wakened state, dream state, deep sleep. In the wakened state, I am there, the body is there, the mind is there. In the dream state, body is gone, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, body is gone, mind is gone, I am there. It is that I, what you have gone and experienced that happiness in the deep sleep state. If you can bring that similar happiness into the wakened state through your reasoning, logic and everything, if you come to that realization, then you are in that realized state of the soul even while in the wakened state. That is what it is saying here. So, but as soon as you wake up, what is happening? Immediately what happens? False ego first thing pops up. As soon as I am so and so, I live here, I am this, I am that. Identity has immediately transformed to the body. To the body. Immediately that transformation happened from the soul, from the spiritual platform to the bodily platform. Your identification of the body has happened. And once that happened, pride is developed inside. Abhimanam, I am this, I am that, I have to do this, I have to do that, and all other kinds of... In the Shastram, three things exist. What are they? Me, I exist. In the conditioned state, I am saying. In the conditioned state, I exist. The world exists. And my interaction with the world. Three things. In the Yanamargam, it is called Tripudi. Tripudi means these three things. Tripudi has to die. Tripudi has to die. That means, today I am existing, the world existing, I have an interaction with the world. These three things are existing. Or I can say, I am existing, you are existing, and the dealings between us. Dealings with us. Three things are existing. But when these three things go away, no separate existence for me, him, and the interaction, those three things go away, there's only one thing left, that is the truth. When it becomes, there's only one thing that's left, that is the truth. Dvandvaha. So, when we say material existence, samsara dhavan analidha loka, isn't it? That's samsaram, samsaram. What does samsaram mean? Samsaram means this tripudi. Tripudi is called samsaram. That means so long as I have an identification with my body, with my false ego, and I'm always thinking in terms of all the created beings separate, and I have, that means this world, and I have an interaction with this world in the form of me, mine, attachment, aversion, doer, enjoyer, with this world outside, that is called samsaram. When tripudi dies, samsaram finishes. Samsaram is over. Samsara dhavan analidha loga pranaya karunya knapanittam praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. This is why it is prayed like that. This samsaram is a forest fire. Isn't it? It's a forest fire. And it is not easy. If you remember, if you hear the commentary on that verse, then you can ask this question, that when will I come to an end of samsara, material existence? So the answer in that verse is, praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guru shri charanaravindam. When the mercy of Krishna comes through the spiritual master, like through Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna's mercy came to Parikshit. Or through Sri Narada Maharshi, mercy came to Prahlada. In the same way, when that mercy comes from Krishna through the spiritual master to you, and this ignorance of this tribhudi gets destroyed, samsaram comes to an end. Samsaram comes to an end. That is what it is mentions there. So this material existence depends on what? It depends on your false ego, isn't it? It is that false ego that keeps this identity with the body. It's a false ego that creates this tripudi or this external world. False ego that conducts all the vyavaharam in this world. All the vyavaharam in this world. So completely it is dependent on the false ego. Dvandvani sarvani avishaha tributyaha కింజల్ సమాశ్రిత విభ్రాంతి వస్తు తన్మాగనేస్యా గలిదం సమస్తం న పశ్యదం సల్ చలనం కదాభి.
ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ లైక్ దిస్ దట్ ఆల్ దీస్ డ్యువాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, ఆల్ ద త్రిభుడి, ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ దిస్ ఫాల్స్ ఈగో. ద ఫాల్స్ ఈగో ఇస్ నాట్ దేర్, దెర్ ఇస్ నో త్రిభుడి అండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ నో డ్యువాలిటీ ఈదర్.
So as soon as this jiva ahanda or false ego comes up, that from our realized state, immediately, which is in the state of aparichinnam. Aparichinnam means there is no breakup there. We are in union with the truth.
We know what the truth is at that time.
That from the truth, it's broken. Our consciousness is broken. So once we accept that limitation, then all the other problems follows. So why it is spoken in that way is that, like in mathematics, when that first step goes wrong, many things what you have done after that may be correct, but the answer won't be correct. So similarly, the soul also, in the same way, that first step is that jivam kalpayade purvam. That means false ego, which is called jiva, existing in the form of ahanda, jiva ahanda or false ego, that has given rise to this false understanding that I am separate from Krishna. I have a separated existence, completely independent. And this is my eternal relationship. In this way, I'm trying to enjoy this world and trying for self-realization, but never get to know the true nature of our spiritual identity. Rather, always remaining in the platform of jiva or false ego. So in other words, jivam kalpayade purvam. First of all, we have decided I am separate from Krishna. In that sense, that we are separate from Krishna. Jivam kalpayade purvam. And we have this false, not only that, a false identity that I am somebody different than that. So knowing that, after that, I am looking for inquiring about Krishna. First of all, I separated myself from Krishna, and then I am inquiring about Krishna. So, this is exactly what Hiranyakashipu did. Do you remember? In the Bhagavatam, if you look 7th canto, in the Saptama Skandam, Sri Sudeva Goswami talks about Hiranyakashipu's inquiry about the truth. So Hiranyakashipu is thinking that I am separate from Krishna. I have a separate existence. I am somebody different than Krishna. Where is Krishna? He goes to Vaikuntham and comes back and he says, Krishna wasn't there. I couldn't see him there. He has come from Vaikuntha himself. And he's saying, where is Krishna there? He says, so similarly, we are also like that. We are also continuing our inquiry like that. This inquiry for Krishna has started long ago in us also. We are inquiring, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? When will we see him? When is he going to see us? This inquiry is going on. But so long as we identify with the body, this self-realization or finding Krishna is difficult. It's not possible. Why? We are separated from Krishna already. We have a connection with Krishna. Now, in devotee's language, in one way it's spoken. Jnani's language is another way it's spoken. That's all the difference is. Practically speaking, this relationship with Krishna is more important to know Krishna. If there is no relationship, staying separate from Krishna, inquiring about Krishna will not bring us the truth. Will not bring us to the truth. That is the point. Hiranyakashipu's life is only trying to point out to us. So when Hiranyakashipu said this to Prahlada, where is Krishna? Where is your Krishna? Where is your God? Or whatever he has asked then, Prahlada says, everywhere only he exists, he says. Prahlada's answer. Everywhere I look, I find him. That is when Hiranyakashipu asked, does he exist in this pillar? He said, yes, he exists there as well. I only see him there, he said, in the place of the pillar. And that's when Hiranyakashipu felt that he's talking nonsense now. He's trying to put me in an awkward situation. He pulled his sword and in that process he hit the pillar. And the pillar broke open and Hiranyakashipu, Narasimhamurti came out from there. Isn't it? Narasimhamurti came out from there. To prove to us, only he exists. Only Krishna exists. And we are separate from saying that we are nothing to do with you. We are separate from you. We think everything different. You think different. Hiranyakashipu thought the same mistake, and it's the same problem we all have got, what Hiranyakashipu has got. Only thing was, Hiranyakashipu was intelligent. He went back in 3 lifetimes. We are still here. We don't know when it will all come to an end. Hare Krishna. Just have a few minutes, Kirtan. Govinda jai jai Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya
Radha Raman Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Gopala jaya jaya
Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya Radha Raman Hari Govinda jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya jaya
Govinda jaya jaya Gopala jaya జయ రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ గోవింద 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 గోపాల 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 గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ గోవింద జయ జయ గోపాల జయ జయ రాధారమణ హరి గోవింద జయ జయ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరి రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
All glory to Srila Prabhupada.